Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So we are in the, it's 2020. We are in the midst of a pandemic. Almost 200,000 and possibly more. I'm trying to get the latest numbers in terms of people being affected by the virus. And a lot of people out of work, and the latest numbers in terms of unemployment, 6.6 million that filed for unemployment. And if it wasn't real, it would sound like a bad science fiction movie. But we still have to press forward. And for a lot of us, we can't find the next job opportunity too soon. And so I've asked Mr. Chad Brown, who's been with us before. He's a career counselor, and I've asked him to join us to kind of give us some insight in terms of how we can strategize to make the next move, whether we wait for our jobs to come back, and some of them probably won't, or, you know, how we use our skills and go forward. Mr. Brown, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me back. I'm doing well, all things considered, as we were saying. So how are you?
Yeah. Doing well, all things considered. You know, I'm blessed. I know things could be worse, but we want to try to help everybody try to, you know, put their next foot forward and make, you know, some sound decisions that are going to help them and their families out. So, I know this is probably most likely not something that you foresaw in terms of having to give advice on, but it's here. And so what if you are, let's say, laid off and you're thinking maybe the job is going to be there when this is all over? Do you wait, or what do you do?
Sure, yeah. And to kind of speak to your whole question, you're right. I don't think any of us expected this or the severity of this. And the closest thing I can remember, but on a much different scale, was, you know, back in 2008-09, the Great Recession and kind of those times, but now it being, you know, literally a matter of life or death. Very serious times, and we're starting to see, you know, the connection between those two again, you know, the economic impact, and where unfortunately many, many jobs, completely laid off, or, you know, kind of furloughed, whether it's a informal or formal contract with companies between their employees of you will have a job coming back. And then possibly the other part of this conversation we could bring into today are the opportunity in any situation. So the companies that actually are hiring. So that's kind of the way I look at it. And then the only other part I'll mention, you know, to your original question is it's an entirely different mentality and way that I work as a career counselor with all my clients right now. Whereas typically I might have been more from a positive, ideal angle of, you know, even while you're employed, let's test the waters, let's look for leaving your job. And I believe there's a lot of statistics, you know, before this all happened, of a lot of people were willingly leaving jobs and employment levels were going well. But now that's really changed where, you know, if you are gainfully employed, and as long as it's not having a severe negative impact on your mental, physical, spiritual health, Now I've really changed to kind of say we might want to figure out a way to ride that through as much as possible. And then into our conversation today, where I'll let you kind of guide it, whether we have to find a complete replacement, or also perhaps this accelerates what we were already seeing with a lot of side gigs and hustles and things that people are kind of doing, whether it's at home or what technology allows us to do.
In this type of environment, especially now relying on technology more than ever, what type of jobs do you foresee someone taking a second look at now, since they're in this situation with all the uncertainty? We see, I guess you could say, a lot of service jobs, I guess, picking up in terms of working in, as delivery persons for some of the restaurants and for some of the stores, and then stores, I guess, having to increase staff because they're having to do extra cleaning and stuff like that. I don't know. But what do you foresee as maybe something that someone could I guess, hone their skills for or train for and maybe, you know, turn this around to something that might be a little more long-term than after this particular scenario?
Sure, yeah, it's a great question. And what I work a lot with clients on is that distinction and hopefully that progression that we all have during our lifetime from job to career. And again, that's very situational depending on where you are right now. So I think to the way that we're talking about it, you know, if we have to take a job and maybe it's a job we never thought we were going to ever take before, there's two major ways I'm thinking of it right now. And one that I do all the time with clients when, you know, we look at resume writing and your branding, of making sure that you take any experience you've ever done, even if it's delivering something to somebody. You know, there are so many transferable skills, and especially in these times of you working under high stress and a dangerous environment, multitasking, doing it with great customer service. There's even quantifiable things, as I've started to use the grocery delivery a bit myself, where I rate the driver. So, I mean, on a resume or something in the future, even if you're not continuing to do that job, you can say, you know, I've had over 300 five-star reviews, you know, and really translating the spirit that I know how to do some of these skills and that I could bring them to you. The other quick point I wanted to mention, that you could also look at this, whether it's exploring a job right now or also considering taking a job that's kind of more of an entry level and then progressing in the future. But think of the umbrella, think of the spider web of how this might extend out, right? So Amazon, yes, grocery delivery, yes, but going bigger into the shipping and logistics industry, what are all of the things down the line and the supportive functions that are needed to make these things that we see right in front of us? And what we might talk about maybe a little bit later here is, of course, that's the career part of me, but the counselor in me also wants to make sure that it's an appropriate fit for you and that, you know, it does pay the bills, but it's also the right thing that will make you somewhat happy, you know, in very difficult times.
Let me ask you about employers maybe taking advantage of this situation. And the reason I ask that, I take little odd jobs from time to time. I'm not going to get into exactly what it was, but it was something that I was scheduled to do, I guess, yesterday and today. And I got a notice from the person, I guess you could say my handler or whatever, that set it up and said that the particular person, a company that I was supposed to do this for, had decreased the pay on this particular job. You know, after having accepted it. And so the handler asked whether or not I wanted to cancel. You know, part of me said, yeah, just go ahead and do it. But the other part of me says, if I say that, you know, then I'm allowing, you know, these company like this to take advantage of a desperate situation, so to speak. Knowing that I wasn't, well, even if I was going to face the penalty, that's fine. But knowing that I was not going to face the penalty other than just not being paid, you know, to do the work, I went ahead and canceled, and it was actually a total of 5 assignments. Now, my thing is that, you know, I know that employers are also in desperate situations as well, but, you know, I had to point out, I told them, you know, you need to tell this particular company that, you know, cutting, you know, I was already accepting it at a low rate. Cutting it would definitely probably bring me under what I would consider minimum wage, which I thought was unfair even during a desperate time. Can you comment on something like that?
Sure, yeah. And what it makes me think of a lot is whether it's working for a company or also kind of getting into that entrepreneurial space, or even that middle space of where you're doing, say, grocery delivery or kind of get, you know, small little jobs where you maybe aren't a full-time employee of a company, you know, it goes back to the point of, you know, what you bring to that opportunity and your skills. And I think one of the hardest activities that many of us have to accomplish is figuring out what is our value. What is our value in the market? What is our personal value? What is, and it could be a range. So, you know, within, and also within reason. So, but basically what I think I heard in your story, and I've have some similar to myself, and I've seen them in people I've worked with, but, you know, not saying that we're never going to take a certain amount of pay, but also it's looking at multiple factors within a job, right? So especially within your story, that it sounded like, you know, there were a couple things there that were making you uncomfortable and really weren't working out the right way, in addition to possibly just lower. It's an exercise I do with every client, you know, and encourage us all to think about of all these different factors of convenience, things that you enjoy doing, things that you're really educated and prepared to do, you know, all the different, and especially right now, safety and security, and then also pay. So, for example, if one thing is going to offer you a great amount of pay, but put you right into the front lines and make you do things you're very uncomfortable and you do not want to do at all, that's probably not appropriate. But we also don't want to come too far on the pay scale where it's below what your value is. And again, very awkward conversation that I've had to go through and help others through, of how do you find out your market value? And especially when the market is completely out of control, and there's a lot of demand for that. But it kind of guides me, I think, back to what we were mentioning of also following the lead if you're comfortable with some of the larger companies or even some of the larger facilitators of some of those kind of gigs and things, where I know that some of the shopping delivery services have even kind of unions where they're talking about, you know, going on strike if things aren't good enough. You know, Amazon has threatened that. But again, it's a tough thing because, like you said, with companies, they want to try to make it work, but they also have to operate as companies. And within our current situation, if they have a line of people willing to take the job, you know, that makes it very tough. And to your greater point, hopefully we will see people not exploit that and see people not become abused in that way as well.
So what other types of advice would you give us right now in terms of how we handle our, well, I guess right now, I would say right now a lot of us are just taking jobs, not necessarily thinking in terms of a career path. Is that a good thing or a bad thing right now?
I think it's a unique answer, right? Depending on the situation, depending on who you are, where your family is, where your finances are, where you, you know, how you feel about exposure to a virus, you know, many personal factors to kind of put into play there. And I think a big, at least where I would answer it as a career counselor, is encouraging you that even if you are taking a job right now, and even if you feel like maybe you've had to take a step back, maybe if you've lost a job and you're looking for one right now, you know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And also from my standpoint, what I do a lot with clients, this is a great opportunity to easily explain why you did not have a job for a short, for a period of time. You know, when we talk about the recession, we talk about a global pandemic, you know, as long as we're not unemployed too long here, you know, and as long as, and if we do have to show a job that looks a little awkward on a resume, you know, if I was working with a client, you know, there's some easy and empowering, you know, not just to explain it away and hope that you don't worry about it, but let's own it. And let's talk about what the skills were that I used within that. And then depending on your audience and your career and where you're heading with all of this, you know, what's important to them? How do we translate that to them? But I guarantee that a lot of the jobs, and even jobs that are probably not paying enough and are very stressful right now, you know, those are great skills. Those are great skills that can be translated, you know, and what, where, again, the unique piece of this comes into play is what you did before the pandemic and what your education and credentialing may be in and things like that, where, you know, do we apply customer service? Do we apply shipping and logistics knowledge and maybe data into healthcare? Do we do it within, you know, fast food brands, Target, you know, all different kinds of ways that you could. And I guess that's my thought of what do we do now, but also looking at the supportive functions and even possibly climbing the ladder and where could this go in the future?
We're here with Chad Brown, who is with Chad Brown Career Counseling and Consulting. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We're going to take a quick break. If you have questions for Chad, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Mr. Chad Brown, who is a career counselor and consultant, and he is trying to give us some pointers in terms of what we do right now, in terms of what we should consider if we're, you know, considering taking a job to get us through to, you know, after the pandemic concerns are over. You know, what do we take advantage of now, how we plan and all that type of stuff. So what other things should we be thinking about right now, Chad?
I think one other area to consider that some might be thinking of right now is, you know, working from home or, you know, maybe kind of being the service and or even creating a product themselves. So I think, you know, on an entrepreneurial note, it's something that always gets me excited. I think we have so many ways to do that. Right now is perhaps a great time where you have a lot of opportunity to research it, think about it, go through the process. And I that's really what I want to leave everybody with and think about is, you know, explore it, think about it, but also understand, you know, the great responsibility of starting your own business and things like that. And even back to what I just mentioned, you know, starting at the very beginning of, you know, are you offering a service to somebody where you are the service, such as counseling? Or do you prepare a product? Do you sell something that you offer to somebody? You could also do both of those. Many businesses do, but considering what that means, what the implications are, and then also looking at all the opportunities we have with video conferencing and not just that, but technology, you know, technology as a home-based entrepreneur, you know, there, I see dozens of articles every day right now about this, but looking at it, considering that, and then kind of ending on the counseling part of this, as I mentioned earlier, that really, you know, looking at yourself, looking at what are my skills, what are the things that I really enjoy doing, but also if you're going to take on that responsibility, what are the things that I'm not really good at? What are the things that when I usually go work for a company, there might be a department, there might be coworkers who are really great and they support me in those areas. But if you're going to start your own business entirely, we would need to consider those. And kind of also from a soft skill standpoint, having that discipline of having a work-life balance, and it's probably going to be very integrated and overlapped when if you try to do it within your home, depending on your family situation, even pets. So, you know, a great opportunity to do it right now, but a lot of implications that come with it, a lot of things to consider with that. So
I think one of the things that I've thought about, because I know one of the things I'm looking at now is, I've been a little resistant. I do technology as much as I feel that I need it, and that's about it. But now I'm saying maybe I do need to be more proficient in terms of how I use technology or what I know about technology. And then also I think the other school of thought is probably going to be, man, I thought I had a job that was essential, and it's not. You know, now maybe I need to rethink, you know, what my place is in terms of the type of job I have in society, and what is necessary and what isn't. Do you think that there's going to be a lot of that happening?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it's always happening. And an exercise that I utilize in the way I handle it with career counseling clients is looking at career credentials. And not necessarily that you have to completely, you know, I think this is where the mental health implications might come in, of not thinking that you've wasted your past, or that I can't do anything with that, or how do I ever be, you know, get up to date and get a good job again? But how do we bridge the gap? And what I mean by career credentials is not necessarily that you have to go get a full bachelor's degree or master's degree, but even kind of looking at it as a staircase, it could start with, by the way, just updating your resume, you know, rebranding, not having to go pay any money and going and doing anything else, but making sure that we translate how I'm trying to move somewhere different, how that's valuable to this new audience. And then as you go up that staircase, you know, it could just be taking a course online, now it's hard, but, you know, we used to be able to go to the library and take things for free, but probably still have it online. But, you know, all the way leading up into, you know, longer term commitments of time and finances of formal educational degrees.
And you're right about the library, because even though the library is closed, I know even before it was closed, there were certain, not necessarily certified classes, but there were classes on there that you could take in terms of languages. This would be the time to, I guess, make yourself a little bit in the type of society that we live in, maybe a little bit more marketable by learning another language. You know, so.
Possibly languages, and then what I've done a lot at the library with my clients is they have really good resources for Microsoft programs. Mm-hmm. So that can often help you get out of the problem where everybody says, you know, I'm proficient. I'm really good at Microsoft Office, you know, but that doesn't really tell anybody, you know, how it, whether, if, especially if you didn't put it down below and how you actually use that in your job. But, you know, if you, but it'd be really nice if you can say I completed levels 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, in Microsoft Office, and I know about these programs and things like that.
Right. I mean, I have taken several of those types of classes at the library, including Excel, which I don't use a lot. But now I'm saying, man, I wish I'd have picked up on it a little bit more while I was in those classes. So now I'm in the process of trying to find some tutorials on Excel and some other things, you know. And then I wanted to ask you about you one of the things that you mentioned about jobs that you like. And one of the things I thought about was hobbies and how to maybe take a hobby and make it work for you in the future. Maybe you don't go back to what you were doing before. Maybe you get more engaged in your hobby and make it work for you. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure, yeah. I think that's kind of my thought earlier of that entrepreneurial at home kind of idea. And again, you know, from the very first thing I said today, where before maybe I would be more inclined to say, you know, if you don't like your job, go for the hobby. Let's try to make it happen. Now is probably that good time to try to maintain, you know, stability and mitigate risk, but also start to explore those opportunities, those options. And one resource I'll pass on that I use a lot and I really recommend is something called Strategizer, Strategizer, Strategizer. You should be able to find that easily if you Google for it. But it's a really nice resource for business model generation and also value proposition. Those are the two things they talk about. But what those simply mean, and they have very user-friendly templates and resources that you can use and adapt to yourself, but they help you understand who your customers would be, how do we really take a hobby and a passion and a good idea, but how do we start to really apply that into reality and into business? And what we also unfortunately hear about, but, you know, sustainable business. So, you know, keeping the doors open and actually understanding kind of some of those things that we often aren't taught if we don't have a formal education or experience in business. So, yeah, I'd recommend Strategizer, definitely.
Well, I guess my question would be, now you decide to do this, and when do you start pitching it? Do you pitch it now where we are having the crazy unemployment numbers or people filing for unemployment? And I know the whatever the jobs report that is, which is going to be very different than what we're accustomed to, will come out tomorrow. But do you start pitching this now when you may not necessarily be able to get the type of, let's say, financial backing or maybe support from consumers, or do you wait till this passes?
Yeah, it's a very good and I think complicated question, right? Of depending on, I'll approach it on two major angles that I thought of. It is first, you know, what your product or service is and who your customers are. So if what you do is all of a sudden, because I see both sides of this right now, I think, of there's things that definitely are going to be hurting, and there's unfortunately maybe even going to be some kinds of businesses and industries that may even go extinct. But I also think that might be that, you know, if we look at it on a line, on a continuum, that's on one far end. But we also see a lot of really positive and actually really cool innovation within businesses that are going to stay around, but they may never look the way they did before this. And then in addition to that, we have the great, you know, entrepreneurial beginning of people that just are starting things from out of nowhere, or, you know, doing things we already know about, but just offering them in a different way. So depending on kind of how you fall into that and when, how the world and your customers view that within a pandemic, I think that's a big part of the decision making. And then another part that I probably would recommend another expert, another advisor to work on this part and maybe, you know, even come on and talk about is getting into, you know, financial planning and also legal issues. Because, for mm-hmm. example, I don't know the answer to this, but I know good enough to ask the question, you know, that you need to be careful if, for example, you're filing for unemployment and all of a sudden you start a business and you start making some money, you know, you may not be considered unemployed and, you know, you need to kind of think about what you're accepting and how that works. And I know that there's so many different bills coming out, I mean, and relief packages, and there's even been a lot of stuff related to small business loans and kind of forgiveness for that. And from last thing I'll just mention, I'm far from an expert on the financial point of view on some of this, but yeah, none of that has really interested me a lot from a one person at home kind of business, because a lot of that stuff is really geared more towards larger, not larger, but small businesses that have overhead and where they really need to take out tens of thousands of dollars to operate and build a business. What I would, you know, kind of leave us on here is, again, the really, you know, exciting thing about especially starting something at home, even a hobby, is it does not require that much money. By the way, back to Strategizer, why I recommend using that and even using some other resources and putting a framework around what you're thinking of here. It probably shouldn't be costing this much. You know, if you're running into a bill that starts to get, you know, way into the thousands and thousands of dollars, we should probably reevaluate and make sure we're using that money effectively as we're trying to start.
Chad Brown, thanks for coming back. Really appreciate it. And you take care of yourself, be blessed, and stay safe. Stay well.
My pleasure. You too, and everybody listening. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Trelonda Triplett about the coronavirus. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the argument. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And so an update that I received within, the last 40 minutes or so from WFTV Channel 9, according to their website, Florida coronavirus cases top 8,000 with 128 deaths reported. And actually, that was probably as of late yesterday. And so they'll probably have an update later today. Orange County has 502 cases with 458 cases last night. So you see that we're continuing to increase. So please, everybody, take care of yourself. We're here with Dr. Trelonda Triplett. Good morning. Good afternoon, rather. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. It is a pleasure to hear your voice and to be heard today. How are you?
I'm great after trying to get you on here for what, over
Listen,
a year?
You are absolutely right. But you know what? There is no better time than the very much right now to be
Amen.
Here. And it's a pleasure to be in your company today.
Same here. Thank you so much. So before we get started on what's going on right now, can you just give everybody a little bit of background on yourself, please?
Oh, I certainly will. I certainly will. Okay, put on your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Okay.
I am Dr. Trelonda Triplett, and it's my pleasure to be here with you today. I have received my Master's of Public Health and Doctorate of Epidemiology from the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine, go Canes. I also have a degree in Industrial and Systems Engineering from Georgia Tech, and a degree from my heart and soul, Clark Atlantic University, in Business Administration and Marketing. I currently serve as Director of Operations for and co-owner of the Institute for Successful Leadership, which will be celebrating our 24th year of existence very, very soon. I've also served as Director of Community Health for the Florida Department of Health here in Orange County.
All right. All right. So you are uniquely qualified to kind of give us your 411 on all of this. So tell us right now, when you first caught wind of this, what were your thoughts? And did you see it going where it's gone right now?
Well, I'd like to say I had a crystal ball in front of me, but that's not the case. I did see it coming to the United States because we are a very global presence. We bring tourists here from all over the world for everything between Disney World and New York. I mean, we are a tourist location. So certainly to look at the way this virus has grown and become a global pandemic was something that I knew that the United States would not be immune from, to use the term. When I first heard about it, well, the really interesting thing is we can look back to when the current federal administration disbanded the Global Pandemic Task Force. That was a real eyebrow raiser for me. I know that the reason that I am the exceptional scientist that I am is because of the people that I have sat next to who have brought unique perspectives. We like to talk about diversity and inclusion, and that's not only just in race or gender. That's in bringing ideas and bringing perspectives that may not be in an individual's immediate purview. So when I heard that the Global Pandemic Task Force was being disbanded, the HIV/AIDS Task Force was being disbanded, I was very concerned about that. And certainly, as surely as that was a risk taken by our federal government, it's something that has not, you know, done well for the population of the United States. So there's that piece of it. And so then, when you start to consider what the susceptibility of our country is with respect to tourists and with respect to the healthcare industry and systems that we have set up in this country or lacks thereof, all of the issues that when we start to talk about social determinants of health and the broader issues that go beyond individual risk levels all come to bear themselves. And so, you know, with the way that disease is distributed in this country anyway, to introduce something for which there is no cure like this virus is something that that I expected, and unfortunately my worst concerns are coming true.
So how, when you look at the timeline that they are projecting, are they accurate in terms of this timeline, or do you see it going much further, and do you see things being more severe?
Well, I think it's a two-sided coin, and I want to let everybody know that's listening today that I am a eternal optimist. So I am not here to say, oh, you know, this is a terrible situation and we'll never see the end of it. However, here's where my concerns lie. Centers for Disease Control have quoted and reported here recently that as many as 25% of people who are living with COVID-19 can be completely asymptomatic. Okay? Uh-huh. And so we don't know who is actually spreading this virus, let alone folks that we know have been diagnosed or we know are showing symptoms. There are 1 in 4 people who don't know that they are sick at all. And so it is left up to us to prevent the spread of this virus. And so that is the thing that concerns me. Now, I've looked at the curves and, you know, we talk about flattening the curve, and that means a whole lot. It addresses not only the time, but also the number of cases that we're looking at over time. That's where the curve comes from. So when we look at flattening the curves, that means it may take us a little bit longer to get through this, but with lower levels of people being infected and or perishing due to this virus. So the issue for me is not the people that we know are infected with this virus, but folks that we don't know is infected. And so, you know, that's why prevention plays such a major role in our response to this virus. So you asked me about the timeline, right? You did ask me about the timeline.
Yeah, I did.
I do see social distancing extending in through the summer months. I do see that into August, September, before we really get to a point where we feel more comfortable engaging with people with distances less than 6 feet. So I see that August, September.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. There goes my summer in the water there.
That's right. We're going to get creative, though. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. This
yeah.
is a time for creativity. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed, for sure. But I want to ask you, and forgive what my terminology is going to be right now, but I want to ask you about
mm-hmm.
crazy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's people out there, you know, there was an article about the FBI discovering that there were white supremacists that were encouraging people who had, you know, symptoms of this virus to go in and
mm-hmm.
among Jews and among police.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, there have been people arrested for, you know, saying, you know, carrying containers saying it's got the coronavirus and scaring
sure.
people or spreading it on door handles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
How much are these type of people going to play a role in terms of maybe causing some setbacks in our progress
right.
with this disease?
Well, I would love to say none whatsoever, but that is untrue. The fact of the matter is this. Unfortunately, we live in cultures now where sensationalism is pretty much something that people strive for. I don't know why, but, you know, we've gotten to the point where we don't know the difference between famous and infamous. And so because that's the case, there are people who want to see this kind of panic and hysteria in people. And I can tell you, my phone has rang off the hook for the past 2 or 3 weeks with people who
mm-hmm.
are hysterical about this situation, and understandably so. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. However, we have to be the beacons of light, let's say, in darkness. We've got to be the kind of people that say, I'm not going to go for that. I am not going to believe that I am a prisoner in my own home. Now, I'm going to take the necessary precautions. I'm going to do what I have to do to ensure the safety and health of me and my communities around me. But I am not going to allow fear to paralyze me, period. Now, there are some people who will play upon others' frailties. Don't get me started on that. The poor in spirit will always be among us. Did I say that? That's what I
mm-hmm.
mean.
Okay.
So we've got to be the strong people that say, yeah, but I can change the channel. Yes, but I don't have to give that my energy. I can
mm-hmm.
focus on what I'm here to do. How can I protect myself and the communities around me? And how can we get through this experience? That's got to be what's at the forefront of our thoughts and our actions and our words. That's what's
okay.
got to be at the forefront. Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you a couple other questions, and
sure.
then I want to ask you what your thoughts are in terms of how we do get through this and then make it on the other side. So I'm going to get a little personal with this one. I am a person with, I guess, what is considered an autoimmune disease. I have hyperthyroidism with Graves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that an additional worry for someone like me or for the people out there with lupus and a lot of these other types of things? Or
sure.
do we follow the same precautions and procedures as the rest of the people?
Well, there's two people. pieces of that. Number one, people with existing conditions, no matter what they are, whether it's hypertension or diabetes or lupus or any of the auto conditions or other respiratory illnesses, that provides an additional level of immune. I'm going to say this very, very slowly so you can get you a new vocabulary word today, okay?
Okay.
You ready? Here we go.
Yes, I'm ready.
Immunocompromised.
Immunocompromised. Okay.
Immunocompromised, okay? And that means you have existing conditions that may exaggerate or exacerbate your risk for contracting COVID-19, okay? So that means you take into stark, you listen to exactly what the people say. You don't have wiggle room. You don't have wiggle room, okay? You don't have the opportunity to introduce exposures or potential exposures that somebody that doesn't have that immunocompromised status, okay? So that means you listen to the recommendations that are made and recognize that you do not have wiggle room. So that's going to take your creativity to a level that others who may not be compromised in that way, don't have to. I know.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yes.
So.
I know. Get it together. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. But we all have an opportunity here because I tell you, you know, I've talked to people from all over our state and all over our country and really globally to talk about this issue. And we have to put at the forefront of our thoughts and actions, as I said before, that we're here to preserve a quality of life across the lifespan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that means from the day you get here, you know, they've had a newborn, I think in Connecticut, that was diagnosed, to our older, more seasoned saints, we'll call you.
Uh-huh.
You have to do what you must do and be a beacon and advocate for preserving a quality of life across the lifespan. So it's not just you that we're concerned about. We
right.
want to make sure that you are not causing additional risk or exposures to other people, whether they're babies
right.
or teenagers or adults or older adults or onto our seasoned saints. We have to think outside of our own individual boxes now. We're at population
okay.
level stuff now.
Okay, so that seems to put a lot of people in a very tender category, because I'm thinking, like I said, I asked about me, but then my
mm-hmm.
husband's diabetic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what, we don't ever go, you know, and he's in one of those quote unquote essential services
right.
type of thing. So should he not go to work? Do we not go out of the house?
I'm going to give
grass.
It to you like this. I let's not eat the grass. Let's not go to that. And
okay.
I want to make this explicitly clear to not only you, but everybody who is
okay.
in our listening audience this evening. You know, we
yep.
can always come up with a what if, an if then scenario. What we are presenting and what you are hearing from the Centers for Disease Control and other authorities on this topic is clear, but not necessarily absolute. Okay, we
right.
understand that you are going to have to feed yourself and your husband. Okay, you are going to have to
eat.
We don't
want
you out in the lawn.
Process.
That's
everybody's
exactly
going through
right.
learning process right now. You know, even the
that's right. And what I'm concerned about is when we allow ourselves to come up with every possible if then to do what we have always done. That's what the problem is. Now, if you know you did not go to the grocery store every day that ended in Y before this issue, let us not do that now. Don't do that.
Right.
Don't give us the if then. Well, if what if I want, you know, Oreos, or what if I want peanut butter? I'm going to need you to make some other decisions. I think if we think about it and come towards this and approach this issue to say, how can I do what is best for me and the communities around me. Come outside of what you are accustomed to doing and do what is necessary in these critical times. That is what is necessary at this time. I had someone ask me, I guess it was a couple of days ago, well, Dr. Trimble, when do you think we'll get back to normal? And let me just be clear with you, and I'm squaring my shoulders on this one. Are you ready? Here we
I'm
go.
I'm ready.
What has been shall not be again.
That's right.
Okay? What is left up to us. And the time is now. But that we know, that won't be back. You have students in schools that won't go back to school this year. You know, what are we learning about distance learning? You know, what are we learning about the value and appreciation of sitting shoulder to shoulder with somebody and having dinner with them? What do we know about what are we learning through this process about how to appreciate one another and somebody saying, hi, how are you? And not having to be 6 feet away. You know, we've got to turn this thing around. We cannot look at this as a situation where we are completely incapacitated. We just can't do anything. No, we are at a point where creativity and miracles are born. It is not in normalcy, let's say, whatever that is, good God, whatever that is. It's not in normalcy, but during and confronting change that miracles are born. Now, this is the time. The time is right now.
And as awful as this is, you've got to look back at almost 20 years with 9/11, as awful as that was. We have situations that sometimes have to shake us up and get us out of our comfort zone and make us look at life with fresh eyes and take a step in a different direction. You know, even God says, see, I make all things new.
That's
one of those times. So I need to ask you about the mental health aspect of all of this in terms of how do we, you know, with this change and with things not going back with a new normal, so to speak, on the horizon, how do we keep our sanity and how do we help each other in this age now of social distancing, keep it together? How do we help each other as well as ourselves?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. There's a couple of things that I want to say about mental health and change. I think that when we consider that and we can go theoretical on it and look at stages of change, okay? And people are their abilities and willingness to change has to do with where they are mentally. Do you believe that there's something that needs to be changed about you? Okay? Have you been presented with a situation that you've never seen before and understand fully that if I do not change, what has been does not work anymore? Okay, when we look at the concept of change, change happens when what was formerly tolerable is no longer tolerable. Okay, so the concept of people going into traditional offices for 8, 9, 10 hours at a time and sitting next to their colleagues and coworkers, that is no longer feasible for this time. So, you know, you can either decide that, hey, this is time for change to happen, or you can be adverse to that and you can stay angry all the time. So it's
which
a decision that has to be made. That's not good.
That's not
It'll drive you insane. It's not healthy. It's going to drive your blood pressure up. It's going to take your heart rate up. And these are things that are happening. You know, I get very concerned when I engage with are adverse to change. That is inevitable in this life. And whether we're talking about COVID-19 or the fact that, you know, you need to update your resume, change is inevitable. And so those that are among us who are prepared or embrace or precipitate change are the ones that do best in change and come through this thing better, stronger, more efficient, more effective. because there are those of us who will come through this experience with all of those different characteristics. And then there are those of us who will be averse to that change and fight it every step of the way. Which one do you think is going to come out better on top, the one that fought change or the one that embraced it and precipitated it in their own time and in their own speed? So when we talk about mental health has everything to do with our connection to what is, not what we'd like to be, what has been, what used to be that. No, we're talking about our connection to what is and how flexible we are with addressing the needs that we have based on what is right now.
Okay. So now, what has to happen do we need to do to get past this or beat this or whatever it is that needs to happen?
All right. I'm ready. What are the things that we need to do? First of all, if you are living with a chronic condition, let's say hypertension.
Okay.
I want to make sure that we manage those conditions. The ones that we have, we need to manage them with laser-like precision, which means you don't allow your prescriptions to run out. If you have something that you have to take every day, let's start ordering our refills, let's say a week in advance. That way, when you get your refill, you've not lapsed in your management of that condition. Similarly, with other folks that have existing conditions, let's step up our self-management of those issues. Okay, now that's number one. Number two, let's get some sleep. We talk about health and well-being and, you know, nutrition and things of that nature, and those things have their place in contributing to the health and well-being of populations all over this globe. But so does uninterrupted sleep. And it doesn't get the kind of pub that it needs. See? You're going to get to sleep. I know you try.
I go to bed when I'm supposed to, and 2 hours later, I wake up, and I'm up the rest of the night.
When it's time for you to go to sleep, go to sleep. Get uninterrupted rest. Okay? Now, the other thing that I'm encouraging everybody that's within my listening audience today, remove clutter from your physical space. Now, for some, that is not a difficult challenge, but for others, it can be extremely difficult. But if you think about, if you can declutter your physical space, that's when you can rest. That's when you can rest easily in that space that you are in. There are pieces of your attire, your shoes, your pajamas, your other articles that are no longer supportive of your peace. Get them out. Move away. This clutter is cluttering not only our physical space, but our mental space as well. So remove clutter. Okay? Finally, do the things that give you peace. Find something to do that is within recommendations that really does give your heart something to sing about. You know, find some things that you have some interest in that you don't know enough about. For me, it's been gardening. Now, my grandmother was a gardener, and I've always been fascinated by the process of putting a seed in the dirt, and it, you know, has a harvest associated with it. Now, that's a whole different spiritual discussion, but the point is, that fascinates me. So
I did that this weekend.
Did you see? You already there. You already ready. You know, find those things and have this introspective conversation. Live from the inside out, not the outside in. Okay? Mm-hmm. Have this conversation with yourself to say, you know what? What are the things that you would do if you never got paid for it? Where does your passion lie? You know, what are the things that you would do for free, but you can do them so well, people will pay you for them? See, and that's not always an automatic answer. Give yourself time to really think about those things and really become introspective in your efforts. You know, utilize this time to figure out what is your favorite color? You know, how do you like your eggs? This is the time that we can have these conversations, not only with ourselves, but those that we do have close social connections with. Your last guest talked about technology. Use it for what it's for what you need it to be. Don't let it be a stumbling block for you. Figure it out. We can do this. We will do this. Sanitize your area. Get your bleach and your cloth. You know, do it old school. Do it like my mother used to do. Get the rag and the bleach and sanitize your area so that you can be at peace in that space. Get your doorknobs. Get your TV remotes. Wipe off your cell phones. How about your laptops? Utilize this time to give yourself peace in the space that you're in. And that will contribute to not only your mental health, but your physical health, too, and your spiritual health, too. Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Amen. Dr. Triplett, I am so sorry. We are out of time. I wish
no problem.
We had more time. Hope to have you back on really, really soon. But thank you for taking the time, because I know you are in popular demand, and I am so happy, so very happy that we finally got a chance to talk. So.
Anytime. Everybody, please stay healthy, stay safe, and stay home. Y'all be good.
Thank you. You too. Listen to yourself.
I will. You know I'm preaching to myself, right? That's absolutely true. If you need me, please call me. I'll be back.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You are more
so
than
much.
Welcome. Take good care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. And thanks again to Chad Brown, and thanks again to Dr. Trelonda Triplett, and thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. Have a very blessed day. Talk to you tomorrow, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.